Good morning. Our atomic clock says it's 11 o'clock. Thank you, James Zacharias. Let folks get settled. All right, we'll start with a call to worship. If you could turn in your bulletins in the insert, please. O God, you are our God. We seek you. We have seen you in the sanctuary, and we know your power and glory. O God, you satisfy our souls as a rich with feast. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy, and you uphold us. We'll now have a couple of songs. Once again, welcome Dan Voth, who's playing bass with us today. He's got some technology. If you could please rise.
Beautiful is your unchanging. can never change, but you remain the Holy One and my
songs. I got to catch my breath a little bit here. So welcome once again, everyone, to our service today. A little cooler outside, but I actually like that when you get a little cool, a little warm, a little cool, so that the melt happens a little more slowly, so that I don't get flooding in my backyard. And of course, it also helps the city as we get ready for a flood season coming up. So are there any guests that need to be introduced or would like to introduce themselves? If not, I'll be honest, I read the bulletin on Friday, and so I will have to take a look here. I think number one is pretty important, Pascha breakfast coming up. I see Ben smiling because he really is looking forward to peeling the eggs. That is the most fun that we have preparing for Pascha breakfast, is boiling the eggs and then getting them ready and then peeling them for your pleasure. Do you know why we do that? Because it makes the cleanup after a lot easier if you're not peeling your own eggs. If you think about it, eggshells throughout the whole place downstairs. Anyway, invitation for all of you who would like to join the choir. The choir will be singing Good Friday and on Easter. Rehearsals will start on Wednesday. I believe that's this coming Wednesday at 7 o'clock, Sunday, April 7th, and then April 14th at 9 o'clock, both of those days. I'm sure that Elizabeth would want me to mention the pastoral review. I see the box is still there in the back. Last time I think I heard her mention she needed some people that were under 60, and I said, yay, that's me. So I made sure so I made sure that I did mine. Please, everybody else in the congregation, I hope you don't mind. This is me. I have to have a little bit of humor in my life, and I hope you don't mind a couple of chuckles on a Sunday morning. I'm not trying to be irreverent. You can read the things happening beyond beyond NKMC as well. At this time, we'll do some sharing. Is there anybody that would like to do some sharing? I'll get the mic.
I wasn't expecting this to happen so fast. Linda Lowen here. I just wanted to update you that Lhasa is safe and sound. Last week she was running away from some heavy weather, and she is now safe. And I am leaving tonight, and I will be meeting up with her for just under a week. And when we part, she's going to start working, and I'm heading off to a trade show. She's in Australia, so wish us all... just keep us in your prayers so that we're all safe during our travels and our life or her life there.
Anyone else?
Lizzie Schrag here. I have a couple of announcements. First, there will be no youth this Wednesday because it's spring break. To the parents that are here. And also, I am going to see my sister this next weekend, so I am rejoicing for that, and we'll miss you all next Sunday.
Anyone else? All right. Then if the children could come down, please. I see at least one up in the balcony and a couple more here. I think there was one more coming. No? Oh, there we go. No, there's one more coming, I think, from the balcony. Yeah, here it comes. Oh, two more. Three more. Wow. And here I thought with spring break we wouldn't have too many people here. All right. So in case you haven't noticed, I'm not Mrs. White. So... you'll just have to bear with me while I do a little bit of sharing on for a children's story here today. So, today we're talking a little bit about being hungry and thirsty. Who can tell me what they feel like when they're hungry? Yeah. You don't know. Does your tummy... go ahead, yeah? Your tummy starts to feel bad. Do you start to feel a little peckish? Do you like that word, peckish? No, you don't like that word, peckish. I heard that on a advertising on TV the other day, and I thought it was a good word for being hungry, peckish. How about thirsty? Who knows what it feels like to be thirsty? Yeah. Your mouth feels dry. Yeah, that's right. How about when your heart feels sad? You need something to eat to help your heart? Well, today's Bible passage tells us about people who loved God and prayed to God. The person who wrote Psalm 63, which you're going to hear in a little while, said, "O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water." So, I wonder what he means by being hungry and thirsty for God. Anybody have an idea? How about when you're really sad or grumpy? Yeah, that's a good word. I saw the face go to grumpy face. Maybe that's a grumpy. Or maybe you're missing a friend. You know, what we can do then is we can pray. So I'd like you to all stand up. Can you all stand up? Everybody stand up. And that means everybody in the congregation too, please. Sorry, I can't stand because I have the mic. And everybody lift up your hands.
both hands in the air, and then repeat after me. God, we call on your name. God, we praise you. God, please bless us. God, we love you. Okay, you can sit down. Okay? And I think Mrs. White asked you to for the final prayer, she asked you to cross your arms like this, you know, cross your arms across as if you're giving yourself a big hug. So is everybody in the congregation doing it too? Okay, good. So we're going to pray now. Oh God, you are our God. No, you don't have to say after me. It's okay. Okay, we're going to start again. Oh God, you are our God. Thank you for giving us food to eat when we are hungry and fresh water to drink when we are thirsty. Thank you, God, for making us hungry and thirsty for you, too. Thank you that we can get to know you better. Amen. All right, now you get to go sit with your parents again.
That's the hardest part of the service. All right, we're going to have another song now.
Again and again.
Now, if you please bow for a word of prayer. We do rejoice in you, God, our God. We rejoice in your steadfast love and faithfulness, a rich feast for our souls. We rejoice that you shelter us in the shadow of your wings, strong protection against the storms. We rejoice that you are more powerful than the troubles that trouble us. We rejoice that when we wander far away from you, losing our way, you do not leave us on our own. You come to us in Jesus, your word made flesh, dwelling among us, full of your grace and your truth. O God, who has drawn us near, you know us as we are. The songs of praise tell only part of the story. We have wandered down many paths, seeking happiness or glory. We have trusted in lesser gods, looking for safe haven from the dangers that threaten. But the deep hungers are not satisfied. The fears and anxieties still haunt us. And now we know our souls thirst for you, the living God. Show us your power and your glory. Take our weariness and send our Holy Spirit to renew our hope. Take our fears and grow new courage in us. Take our resignation to the way things are and pull us in your passionate love. Lord Jesus, you meet us in the wilderness of our days and fill us with the bread of life. You meet us in the desert of our loneliness and the streams of living water start to flow. We drink deeply of the gift of your presence and we rejoice, for you have made us glad. Amen. We will now take the offering.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Fell through the fearless drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, his gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones who came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as his hands in victory sings, curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. lies the sky to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Isaiah 55, 1-9. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest affair. Come, give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations who do not know will come running to you, because the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for God has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while God may be found, and call God while God is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the God, and God will have mercy on them, and to our God, for God will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you, my whole being longs for you, in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary, and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods, with singing lips my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you, I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadows of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Well, good morning to you. This is, for some of us, this is our second service this morning. We were at, Mission Choir and I were at Bethania earlier for the 10 o'clock service there. And I tell you that our congregation's attendance there was excellent. Of all the residents at Bethania, they were at least almost all there. I didn't see Leanna's mother. I'm not sure if she was there. I might have missed her. But everybody else was there. And including some from Bethania, from Bethania House. So, we had excellent attendance there. Here, well, pretty good. Let's take a moment to pray. Our God, we've heard the scriptures for this morning. Scriptures about thirst and drinking. Allow us to open our spirits to the drink that you have for us, we pray, as we consider this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so in our call to worship this morning, we declared that our souls thirst for God. We just listened to the scriptures read from Psalm 63 and Isaiah 55, both texts that had some discussion about thirst, about desire for God. And then in our call to worship, we declared that God satisfies our souls as with a rich feast. Now, this is what we tend to declare in the Christian church. We say that God satisfies the longings we have for meaning and purpose in life. You know, that's probably a declaration that sounds foreign to some of the people we interact with in our neighborhoods and our workplaces. Now, I would like to ask you to participate with me here just a bit. If you think about our society, the dominant themes that you might hear, if you were standing at the water cooler at your workplace, if you were visiting over the fence with your neighbor, and you got to talking about, you know, what do you search for to fill your life up, to help you feel like there's meaning and there's purpose in life? What do you think people would tell you? This is audience response time. I've got a list written down, but I want to hear from you. What do you think your neighbor or your coworker would say to you? Family. Okay. I wrote down family relationships too. Okay? Just plain work. And probably successful work or you know, doing well, getting promoted, moving up and so on. Yeah. Okay? It's got to be money right up there, right? Just so that you've got the means to do what you want to do and get what you want to get. Yeah, was that said, you know, with a bit of desire, like I'd like not to be here. And we do have some people on vacation, and Linda just told us about, yeah. That's for sure, right? Travel and time off and having leisure, that's, people find lots of meaning and purpose in that. Those are all things that I wrote down too. And I also thought of romantic relationships. Don't a lot of people think that that's like the biggest thing in life to make sure you've got? Or sexual expression in its variety of ways? A classic car? A Harley? I'm not pointing at you, Don. I had a couple of Suzukis, but not a Harley. Yeah, maybe even something a little on a different angle, and something that's closer to what the church declares, but some brand of spirituality, some way of sort of thinking about your inner soul. But it probably doesn't include the God of the Bible. That's all kinds of stuff like that is what's out there. The things that people say help them to have meaning and purpose in life. And for the most part, the things we have mentioned are not bad things in themselves. And many times these pursuits do add meaning to life. We can also say that lots of what we've talked about are things that are pursuits of self-gratification. And we might wonder if they're the kinds of things that the prophet Isaiah spoke about as if God was talking. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy, the prophet asked. So we understand the Bible to remind us that these things might be summed up by words like possessions, position, and pleasure. Well, those words might not describe every pursuit, but they kind of are a bit of a blanket. Possession, position, and pleasure. Things that look desirable to us, things that we might turn toward, but things that might in fact turn us away from relationship with God. And God wants us to turn to relationship with Him, to satisfy the hungers of our lives. That's what we understand the Bible to say, and it's what we've heard in church all our lives, right? Do you ever wonder if it's really the truth? Do you ever wonder if the church has brainwashed you? And I ask that because some time ago I had a person who had grown up in the church, had lived with the church through lots of adult life too, who said, you know what, I think that's all lies. I think I've been brainwashed by church. I think it probably isn't true that the pursuit of all those things that the church labeled as detrimental to full, satisfying life were that at all. And so I wonder if you've ever questioned the church's age-old idea that the pursuit of possessions, position, and pleasure is hurtful to one's soul. Is it true that there is thirst in the pursuit of self and a good drink in the pursuit of God? So let's look at the text of Isaiah 55, 1-9 mostly this morning as we consider this theme of a good drink. As we begin looking at the text, we hear the writer of this section of Isaiah conveying the words of God. The words of God here provide a gracious invitation to the hearers. Come, all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money. Come, buy and eat. God has provision for those who are thirsty and hungry. Now we might think from the first two verses that the invitation is to physically eat and drink. And Jeff took us that way with the kids a little bit, thinking about physical thirst. But then, at the end of verse 2, the writer talks about God offering the invitation to eat what is good, and then says that your soul will delight in the richest of fare. It's not the stomach that will be satisfied, but the soul. And so we understand this invitation to eat and drink as a symbolic invitation. An invitation symbolically, one that describes going to God for spiritual renewal and revitalization, for meaning and purpose in life. We notice more things about this invitation. This is an invitation to those who are thirsty. If we have no sense of need for spiritual renewal or no interest in having God revitalize our spiritual lives, then we tend not to notice this invitation and that it's for us. We have to want this. We have to look at our lives and say we need God to fill us with His Spirit and remake us so that our desires line up with His desires and so that we receive fulfillment from Him. If we have that kind of thirst, then we notice this invitation. Then we observe that this is an invitation that comes with no, without any cost attached. Oh, I thought about some invitations I've received over the years. Invitations that to attend important events with important people present. And then I feel a slight interest. What would it be like to be an important person attending the mayor's breakfast, for instance, and rubbing shoulders with other important people? But then I see in the case of the mayor's breakfast, at least, that this is not a free breakfast. Important people have lots of money to spend, and the mayor thinks that they'll be happy to pay substantially for the privilege of eating his food and rubbing shoulders with important people. And so I throw the invitation away. I'm looking for a free breakfast. The food that God offers in this symbolic invitation in Isaiah 55 is free. God says, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk. How do you buy without money? But he says, buy it without money and without cost. We also note that the invitation promises something satisfying. God asks why we would spend money on what is not bread and work for something that does not satisfy. The implication is that we can give much effort in trying to respond to our heart hunger and pursuing things that do not satisfy our souls. God says that if we listen to Him and eat what is good, our souls will delight in the richest of fare. When we respond to God's invitation to fill our hearts with Him, what we receive is the best possible. We're satisfied in the richest way possible. It's also important for us to remember, to recognize that this is truly an invitation. There is no coercion or manipulation here. There is no demand. This is an invitation to come to God. Questions are asked to get us to think about the value of alternative pursuits, and reasons are given for why we should pursue God rather than the alternative. But in the end, this is an invitation. God will not force us to come. God offers an invitation and gives us freedom to respond or not. That's pretty remarkable about God in my mind. But it's an invitation, not a coercion. As we move on in the text, God speaks more of what he wants to do for the people who respond positively to his invitation. This particular invitation, the one that the prophet Isaiah shared, was directed at the people of Israel in the time hundreds of years before Jesus. God promises them that he will continue to love his people faithfully. And then he says at the end of verse 5 that he will endow the nation of Israel with splendor to such an extent that other nations will come to them. I believe we can be confident that God will continue in this vein with people, all people who respond to his invitation. When we hear the invitation to come and drink and respond positively, God loves us faithfully. God creates in us a spirit and a desire to be people of love, kindness, and compassion to such an extent that our lives will draw others to ask about God's offer. And then it seems that verse 6 communicates a certain urgency about the response to this invitation. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. When we hear the invitation, we don't want to postpone and delay. We want to decide to come to God without waiting to receive his love and transformation, thus filling our souls with what will truly satisfy. In verse 7, we see the invitation re-offered, but framed slightly differently. While in verse 1, the invitation simply went to all that were thirsty, now the invitation goes to those who clearly act against the interests of God. Wicked and evil people are invited to turn from their ways and turn to God, and then God will have mercy and pardon them freely, he says. We are impressed again with the grace of God. Mercy and forgiveness are freely offered. No penance is required. No punishment will be exacted. Those who thought they would fill their lives in ways that were outside of God's desires, but who now respond to God, will freely receive God's mercy and forgiveness, and will find their thirst for a full life completely satisfied. So we've observed the invitation. God has offered a satisfying of our deepest desires and thirsts when we respond to God's offer of forgiveness and mercy. Are we convinced that this is true? Can it be demonstrated to be true? When we look at the people around us who pursue the kinds of things we talked about in our opening conversation to fill themselves up, are we convinced that they're coming up short? Or do we suspect that they actually do find themselves filled? So we'll return to that question again. We'll kind of keep coming back to that question. But perhaps God already anticipated that question as he made this invitation in Isaiah. In verses 8 and 9, the last two verses of the text chosen for this morning, God says that his thoughts and ways are not our thoughts and ways. His thoughts and ways are higher than ours are. Perhaps God recognized that people would object to the rationale of his invitation. It wouldn't seem right to them. And he said that his understanding is better than ours is. We really will be satisfied if we respond to his invitation more than if we don't. But we ask again, does this make sense to us? Do we really believe that making God's desires our heart's desires and accepting his spiritual renewal will satisfy us more completely than what the world around us thinks will satisfy? So we think back to the things we talked about in our opening conversation. Some of those things we talked about as things that people pursue to find satisfaction are things that are pursued largely for pleasure. We get lots of pleasure out of some of that stuff. And other things that we talked about are things that are pursued because of a desire for possessions. We really like to have some good stuff. And still others could be considered to be items pursued because of a desire for position. We'd like to be noticed. We'd like to feel like our lives really counted for something. I believe we will easily agree that people do pursue pleasure, possessions, and position in an attempt to satisfy themselves and fill themselves up. The things we talked about are, for the most part, desires that are not bad or good. Some of them may turn us against God and themselves, but most of them only do that when we make our pursuit of them obsessive and allow that pursuit to supplant our interest in God's presence in our lives. And so we're back to the question we've been circling around. We understand God to be offering us satisfaction, meaning, and purpose when we give first place in our lives to the pursuit of a relationship with God. We understand that this is likely understood to be in contrast to the pursuit of the things that our society is inclined to think will give us satisfaction, meaning, and purpose. Do we believe that? And are we willing to act on that belief? Or do we doubt that set of understandings? You know what? This is not something we can prove right here, right now, can we? We can't make an experiment. For myself, I conclude that making the pursuit of pleasure, possessions, and position the top pursuit in my life brings about some famine in my life. That is the stuff that God speaks of in Isaiah 55 when he asks why we would spend our money on what is not bread and our labor on what does not satisfy. Orientation toward God's desires for us instead and receiving his gracious gift of that which satisfies and fulfills brings about feast in our lives. That is the good drink that God has for us. Here then is the invitation to us today. Somehow in this time of Lent in the church calendar, we are invited to consider the condition of our spirits. Actually, I don't know why we're not invited to do that all the time, every Sunday of the church year. But we think about that at Lent. We are invited to turn our hearts toward the revitalization of our spirits that God desires to give. We are invited to approach God in prayer, letting him know that we are ready to accept his invitation, abandoning our other pursuits when they stand in the way of God's renewal, and giving ourselves completely to the revitalizing work of God in us, effected by the Holy Spirit and directed by the example of Jesus. There's the invitation. What I want to do right now is give you a few moments of silence. I know you've been silent most of the time already while I've been talking. But some silence to allow you to just reflect in prayer when you've had a reasonable amount of time with that. Then Jeff will continue with our period of confession and reconciliation. Let's go to God in silent prayer.
Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. Who will listen to the Lord today?
I will listen to the Lord today.
I was first introduced to writing poetry during my short stint at Bethel College in Kansas. As someone who didn't play any sports and didn't play any instruments, my choice of extracurriculars was limited, and I wound up in the literary club. Because of my short participation with this wonderful, talented group of folks, I took my last class at Bethel College, a January interterm class, on poetry. And there I was introduced to the pantoum. A pantoum is a type of poem where the second and fourth line of a stanza become the first and third line of the following stanza. The poem repeats itself. You will hear a version of each line twice as the meaning shifts and changes. For this pantoum, I chose phrases from the four scripture passages that were offered in the lectionary for today, the Isaiah 55 and Psalm 63 texts that Mackenzie read, and a passage from 1 Corinthians 10 and Luke 13 that stood out to me. And then I printed, typed them up and printed them off, and then cut them into little pieces and laid them out in the order that I felt they went in. So it was the act of rearranging that created a poem that moves from addressing a body of Christians to my own cry out to God. And I finished this apparently at 10:15 on a school night, because I wrote, I have not titled it, because I finished writing this at 10:15 on a school night and wanted to go to bed. But as Marv was preaching, the title, An Invitation Turned to Self, came to me. So here it is. I do not want you to be unaware. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Drink from the spiritual rock that follows you, the rock that is Christ. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. You who are baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? You who were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? God is faithful. You who think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. And yet, God will abundantly pardon. God, you are faithful, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. God, you abundantly pardon. My soul clings to you. In the shadow of your wings I sing for joy, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. My soul clings to you. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. I do not want to be unaware. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. Let me drink from the spiritual rock that follows me, the rock who is Christ.
If you would turn to your inserts, please. We are all invited to listen to the Lord today. Let us bring ourselves to God in prayer. When we sense the poverty of our souls, we listen to you. When our souls hunger for abundant life, we listen to you. In the morning and in the evening, we listen to you. Our generous God provides for us. We will now have another song.
Sins I cannot bear.
Say, our generous God provides for us. Now, if you'll please rise for the benediction and stay standing for the closing song. And if you would, after the closing song, if you would just give me a moment to get to the back of the church, please. Go from here. Nourished by the spiritual food, satisfied by the spiritual drink, and established in the spiritual rock that is Christ. Amen.
It is a cry of my heart to follow you. It is a cry of my heart to be close to you. It is a cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, so I can walk in your truth. Teach me your holy ways, O Lord, and make me wholly devoted to you. It is a cry of my heart to follow you. It is a cry of my heart to be close to you. It is a cry of my heart to follow all of the days of my life. Open my eyes so I can see the wonderful things.
cry of